Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under it until it is compelled. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He said to the crowd, When you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say, It's going to rain, and it does. And when the south blows, you say, It's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it that you don't know how to interpret this present time? Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? Are you going with your adversary to the magistrate? Try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off to the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny.
Thank you, Sally, so much for that. Apologies that I suddenly realised I omitted to change the title from last Sunday's reading. So the title was Acts 16, but that reading was from Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through to 59. And the title of, well, last time I was speaking on Luke, we were looking at the previous verses 13 to 34, under the title, Are You a Fool? Today we're looking at verses 35 to the end, Are You Ready? You know, we all have our favourite Bible verses, don't we, in parables in the New Testament. The ones maybe about the good news of the gospel, verses that encourage us, verses that speak about God's power and the work of the Holy Spirit. But I guess that none of us have our favourite verses from the verses and parables that Sally's just read to us in Luke 12, 35 to 59. They are tough words from Jesus. They are warnings to be ready. It talks about the threat of thieves, of beatings, of punishment, of fire. It talks about division in families. It talks about weather forecasting, very suitable for British people. It talks about being dragged off to court or being thrown into prison. And Jesus says, I've not come to bring peace, but division. And, in a few weeks' time, we'll be sending Christmas cards, won't we, about peace and goodwill to all men. But here Jesus is saying, I've not come to bring peace, I've come to bring division. So what's all this about? None of these verses say all will be well. None of them say everyone will be blessed and live peaceful lives. None of these verses say we will be healthy and wealthy and prosperous and all will be easy. In these verses, Jesus warns that a crisis is coming. And as soon as Jesus talks about being ready and watchful, we immediately think, when we read these verses, of the return of Jesus, the second coming. Jesus is coming back. Amen? Amen. You sound as though you really believe that. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back because Jesus' promises always come true. Amen? There will be an end to this world. There will be a final judgment. And it's very interesting, I wrote this message before yesterday's surprise invasion of Israel by Palestine and Lebanon. Do you know there's so much in the Bible which says at the end that the nations will come against the nation of Israel? And it will be a sign of the ends of the time. What happened as well since I wrote this message? A big earthquake took place in Afghanistan yesterday as well. Earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, isn't it? What's interesting is that we read these verses in Luke 12 and immediately think of the second coming. But when Jesus spoke these words, the crowd wasn't thinking Jesus was speaking about the second coming. They couldn't possibly have been thinking about that because Jesus was there right in front of them. He was speaking to them. They had no idea yet that he was even going to leave them. They had no idea about the cross. They had no idea about the resurrection. They had no idea of the ascension. They had no concept that Jesus would return after death because Jesus was standing right in front of them speaking these words. And the crisis that Jesus was warning the crowd that had gathered, if you remember, they're still there from the healing of the mute, deaf and mute man. The crowd wasn't thinking that Jesus was speaking about the second coming at all. But the crisis that Jesus was warning these people was about his impending death on the cross. There was a great battle coming ahead between the kingdom of evil and the kingdom of God. There was going to be the rejection of the Messiah, and Jesus is warning here about the impending destruction of the temple, everything that the Jews really celebrated. It was going to be destroyed. Jerusalem itself was going to be destroyed. That took place in AD 70. So Jesus is saying a crisis is coming in a few years' time. There's going to be the crisis of the rejection of myself, the Messiah. There's going to be the judgment of God upon the nation of Israel as the temple is destroyed and Jerusalem is destroyed as well. And when Jesus says in verse 50, I have a baptism to undergo, he's clearly talking about his impending suffering and death on the cross. And it's vital that the crowd respond to this crisis. It's not going to be easy. They need to decide now whose side they are on. They will face conflicts. They will face division, even within families. However, Jesus' same words apply to us today in 2023. We're not facing the crisis of Jesus' impending death. But we are facing the crises, aren't we, of our own generation. We are facing the crisis of this earth failing and fading. You see it there on the television news, don't you, every week? No, the global crises. The crisis of global warming, the crisis of fire and floods and disasters and earthquakes and famines, the crisis of wars and rumors of wars, the crisis of the impending return of Jesus, the crisis of the final judgment and the destruction of the world and everything in it, as is described in the Bible. And Jesus' words in Luke 12 are vitally relevant to us in 2023. I'm sure many of us, hopefully all of us, believe that the return of Jesus Christ is coming. The final judgment is near. Many of the signs of his return have already been fulfilled, haven't they? We do not know how much longer we have. What I can totally guarantee to you, it is certainly nearer today than it ever has been. We can say that with total and utter confidence. We are nearer the return of Christ than we ever have been before. But Jesus here is not a prophet of doom. Jesus is not a scaremongerer. He doesn't scare people into the kingdom of God. But Jesus' message is clear. A crisis is coming. And Jesus' question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for life to get tougher and harder? It's not what we want to hear when we come to church, is it? But that's what Jesus warns about. Are you ready for life to get tougher and harder? Are you ready, says Jesus, to face death? Are you ready for Jesus' return? Are you ready for the final judgments? So what does Jesus say in these verses that we need to do to be ready? First of all, be watchful. Be watchful. I'll read these verses. What Jesus says, be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Verse 39, but understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man, that is Jesus, will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So Jesus says, be ready for action. Don't be lounging about in your PJs and slippers. Be dressed, ready for service. Have your running shoes on. The original is actually about that term of gird up your loins, where, you know, the Middle Eastern people, because they wear, the men particularly wear these long flowing robes, they couldn't run, they couldn't go anywhere quickly. So what they used to do, they used to tuck their robes up into their belt, put them in their belt so that they could run. So they were ready for action, ready for work. And Jesus is saying, be ready, be ready for action. Don't lounge about. Always be ready to serve your Lord and Master Jesus at a moment's notice. Ready to welcome Jesus on his return. No, judging by how hard it is to get people to volunteer to serve Jesus in his church, it seems that many of us are not ready. It's a challenge, isn't it? We're not dressed ready for service. The danger is that we are sleepwalking towards eternity. And Jesus says, be ready. Are you ready? Will you be among those who will be ready to immediately open the door and welcome Jesus back? And the emphasis there is on immediately. You know, it's being ready immediately. Because it won't be any good if when Jesus returns, you're saying, well, hang on, I've got that committee meeting still to do, and I've got this to do and that to do and everything else, and I'll be ready in an hour. You know what it's like sometimes when you're trying to hurry a member of the family? I can't say which member of the family it is. Hurry the member of the family out of the house. And, you know, you've got an appointment, and they're always saying, well, you know, I need to do this and do that and everything else and just make myself just right before I can go out. In my household, it tends to be me rather than Trish, believe it or not. But, you know, all these things, I think of all the things that I need to do before I actually leave the home. You know, but Jesus wants us to be immediately ready. Ready immediately to respond to him. Immediately ready. You know, you're not going to have time to get yourself ready. When Jesus comes, he'll come instantly, won't he? There's not going to be lots and lots of warning of his coming. He comes at an hour when you don't know and when you don't expect him. You know, keep your lamps burning, says Jesus. What does that remind us? It reminds us of Jesus' parable of the 10 bridesmaids and their oil lamps. 5 were ready and 5 had let their oil run out. And they need to go off to town to buy oil. Friends, you know, if you're not ready and you've got to go and help, suddenly I need the Holy Spirit in my life, it's going to be too late. You're going to be left out. Keep your lamps burning. Are you keeping the lamps burning, or have you gone to sleep? Have you forgotten to ask the Holy Spirit for more oil to keep burning bright for Jesus? Be watchful, be faithful, secondly. Be faithful. In verse 42, Jesus says, the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master's taking a long time in coming. And then he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. And the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and as an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Folks, it matters how we behave today. It matters how we behave today. Your behavior today has eternal consequences. That's scary, isn't it? But it's true, it's what Jesus says. One of the problems of being a born-again Christian is we seem to get away with living sinful lives, don't we? No, if we're honest with ourselves, we seem to get away with living sinful lives. You see, when I first became a Christian, there was a radical change in my life, and I thought I'd never sin again. No, because Jesus had done such a wonderful thing in my life. But the problem is, you do sin again. And then, you know, when sin, you know, I was aware of sin coming into my life, you know, I expected, you know, a thunderbolt to come from God and fry me to toast, you know. Or, I was extra careful crossing the road just in case a bus came along and ran me over. You know, this is God's judgment. But the problem is God doesn't treat us like that, thank God, does he? And so we can keep on sinning. There doesn't seem to be any consequence, does it? We can, you know, we can continue, if you like, the pretense that we're a good Christian person. We can treat other people badly. Our attitudes and our actions can stink as even born-again Christians. We can be involved in immorality or fraud or all manner of other evil sins. And the great tragedy of the church today is all the scandals and the fraud and the immorality and the sexual abuse and the bullying that is taking place in the church by people who are supposed to be Christians, often by Christian leaders like myself. And it's a scandal, isn't it? It's terrible. Jesus says, I might have delayed my return. I might not strike you down in judgment now, but judgment is coming. Jesus will return. You will be judged. And if you've not been faithful, if your attitudes and actions are offensive to me, Jesus says you will be condemned. He says you will be assigned a place with the unbelievers. Those are Jesus' words. So don't play around at being a Christian. You know, so often we can play around at being a Christian. It looks nice on the edges, doesn't it? But God wants us to be fully committed to him. Totally, to seek first the kingdom of God. All to Jesus I surrender. Now, sometimes we sing that song, don't we? I sometimes wonder how many of us are actually lying. I sometimes wonder how often I might be lying. Are we really prepared to surrender everything to Jesus? Now that is how Jesus wants us to be. So Jesus says, be watchful, be faithful, be ready and waiting for Jesus, for your redemption is near. Next, reorder your priorities. Reorder your priorities. Verse 51. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. It might sound as though it's your family. No. They will be divided, father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Verse 54, he said to the crowd, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say, it's going to be hot. And it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? Now, if you're British, we spend an inordinate amount of time discussing the weather. If you've lived here for any length of time, you'll understand why. Because many of the countries where you come from, you know when it's going to rain in the rainy season, and you know when it's going to be dry in the dry season, and everything else. But you can have all three or four seasons in one day here in Britain. So we spend an inordinate amount of time, you know, discussing the weather and watching the weather forecasts and whether we can have a barbecue or not. You know, so it's absolute pain, isn't it? It's one of those things. But, you know, in many countries, you can see and you can pretty well be guaranteed when the rain's going to come. You're just better in this country saying the rain's going to come every day. And you see that and you know when it's going to come. And Jesus is saying, you know, you see those signs, you know when what the weather's going to do, but you haven't thought about when Jesus is going to come back. You haven't watched the signs. You haven't seen the signs to see what God is doing. You know, we need to open our eyes to see what God is doing, don't we? We need to reorder our priorities. One of my pre-Christian friends was called Mark Harris, and we had some great times together as older teenagers. Mark was a born salesman. He was very successful. He very quickly got promoted. He married his stunning blonde girlfriend, much to my great disappointment. No offense to Trish, but it was. He got a bigger and better company car. He bought a flash executive home. He had a gorgeous little baby, daughter. He had everything, and he was only 26. Only 26. And he got this big executive house. He got the latest company car. We're talking about the mid-1980s. He had got everything. His whole focus, his whole conversation was success and money and cars and possessions. He wasn't interested hearing about Jesus because I'd become a Christian. And he wasn't interested. He wasn't interested in hearing about Jesus. But for a couple of years, he had a strange lump on his shoulder. And eventually, after 2 years, he got it checked out. And they discovered it was a cancerous tumor. And that in those 2 years, it had spread, that it was inoperable. And he went into having a course of chemo. And I went to visit him after his chemo. And I want to say to you, his priorities had completely and utterly changed. Completely and utterly changed. He wasn't interested in success anymore. He wasn't interested in money anymore. He wasn't interested in homes or cars or possessions. He just wanted more time with his little girl and his wife. And he was interested in Jesus and what would happen to him when he died, because he'd been told he was terminally ill. The news that he was terminally ill had completely changed his priorities in his life. I hate to tell you this, but Jesus warns us that each one of us is terminally ill. We're all terminally ill. We have a terminal illness called sin. None of our bodies are going to live forever. Did you realize that? No, we mostly live as though that's never, that they are going to live forever, don't we? We accumulate this and we accumulate that and we accumulate the other, you know, and we look after everything and we just live as though we're going to live forever. But the reality is no one ever has done beforehand. So why do you think you're going to beat the odds of everyone else? We're all going to die at some point. You know, we're all dying. It's just that some of us will take longer dying than others. Looking around, some of you are taking a long time to die. Praise God. But that's the reality, isn't it? That's the truth of the matter. No, it's what we're about. But none of us know how young or old we may be when we die. And Jesus wants us to reorder our priorities in the light of eternity. Each one of us needs to reorder our priorities in the light of eternity. I remember when I was a young teenager, before I ever became a Christian, brought up in a Christian home, brought up under the fear of God. Every time there was a thunderstorm, we were sort of thinking that Jesus was coming back or whatever. And I was desperate not to become a Christian. And I thought, I'll have a sort of insurance policy. In my mind, I thought, when I'm really old, when I'm 65, then I'll repent of my sins and become a Christian, you know, and I'll have all the fun and everything else that I was looking forward to and involved in everything else before I got there. It's a bit scary, because next birthday I will be 65. But I praise God that God arrested me when I was 20 years of age. Not only did he arrest me and turn me around, but he changed me and transformed me and called me to serve him. And I've spent the rest of those lives since my life since 20 serving him in that way. Praise God. But we need to reorder our priorities in the light of eternity. We've got even more reason to reorder our priorities, not because we will all face death, but because Jesus is coming back. He will return. That final judgment day is coming. We do not know the year. We do not know the day. We do not know the hour. It could be before the end of this service, folks. I don't say that to frighten you, but it could be, couldn't it? You might never see your home again. No, it could come at any moment. The question is, are you ready? Am I ready? Are you watchful? Are you faithful? Are you reordering your priorities? Jesus says, if you're going to be ready, if you're going to be faithful, if you're going to be loyal to me, if you reorder your priorities, it may cause division in your family and friends. It may cause division among your family and friends. In many parts of the world, following and obeying Jesus radically brings division between family members and friends, doesn't it? Now, when I became a Christian quite dramatically and quite suddenly, and it did bring division among my friends. It did bring division in my family, actually, as well, sadly. Because not everyone can cope when God is at work in a young man's life and transforming someone's life. But you know, if you're a Muslim, or if you're a member of another faith community, choosing to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, being ready for Jesus, is likely to cause big divisions in your family. You may face persecution. In many places, you may face death. And there are many people today who are becoming Christians in Muslim countries and other countries in the world where that radical choice to follow Jesus is at the cost of their life and everything they've ever known. And that's challenging, isn't it? Would I be prepared to make that choice and to say, yes, as for me and my household, I will follow the Lord. I will serve the Lord. So being ready for Jesus means reordering our priorities, whatever the cost. And finally, get right with God now. Jesus said in verse 57, "Why don't you judge for yourselves what is right? As you are going with your adversary to the magistrate, try hard to be reconciled on the way, or your adversary may drag you off into the judge, and the judge turn you over to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you will not get out until you've paid the last penny." Well, Jesus here is not really giving advice about making every effort to reconcile with your enemy who's taking you to a human court to face a human judge. Jesus is saying, judgment is coming. We will all be facing God the judge. Make sure you are reconciled with God before the devil drags you in to face God the judge. Make sure you get right with God before you die. Make sure you get right before Jesus comes again. Make sure you get right with God before the final judgment day. Otherwise, you will be condemned by the judge. You will be thrown into the prison of hell, and you will never be able to repay the debt of your sin. That's what Jesus is really speaking about here. And Jesus is not joking. Jesus says this is deadly serious. He doesn't want any of us to be lost and spend eternity in hell. Jesus calls us to repent. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. That was the very first message of Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 17. Repent, for the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand. Jesus was saying to the people then, you know, the kingdom of God is coming, folks. Repent of your sin. Get right with God now. Do business with God now. Don't delay getting right with God, because Jesus is coming back soon. Repent of your sin now. Don't waste any more time of your life, because death may just be around the corner. Repent of your sin now. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Discover that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price and the punishment for your sin. Experience the forgiveness of all your sins through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for the remission of your sins. Praise God. So this is not a negative message. Yes, he's warning us. He's calling us to repent. But it's good to repent, because what does it bring? It brings all the good news of Jesus. So you repent of your sin. You allow him to take away that sin through his death on the cross. You believe in Jesus, and you can know a freedom and a forgiveness that you've never experienced before. Enjoy the wonderful experience of the burden of sin in your life being totally lifted by the total and free forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Did you come in here today, burdened down, or watching on live stream, burdened down with a sense of all the guilt and the failure of everything you've said and thought and done. Feeling condemned, feeling worthless, feeling useless. You can come to Jesus, you can repent of your sin, and you can know that burden completely lifted off you. And you can go out of church dancing. You may come in, you can go out dancing because you're free. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to set us free so that we can know forgiveness. This is the good news of the kingdom, which is why it's so important to be ready, so that we can enjoy not only the readiness here on earth, but we can enjoy then eternity together in heaven with Jesus. Praise God. Be born again. Discover what it means for the old to have gone and the new to have come, to be a new creation in Christ. Wasn't it? That was what was so thrilling, wasn't it, about last Sunday's testimonies? It was absolutely thrilling. We were celebrating new creations. The old has gone in Theo and Rebecca's life. The new has come. They are new creations in Christ. Instead of being dependent on drugs and alcohol and mental health issues, they have been set free by Jesus Christ. The burden has been lifted off. And if he can do it for Theo and Rebecca, he can do it for you, and he can do it for your family members. He can do it for people here in Burngreave. He can do it in our workplaces, in our school gates, wherever. That is the good news of Jesus. That's why Jesus said, therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, tribe, and tongue, baptizing them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's believe in those truths, and let's experience those truths. Instead of being an enemy of God, living in darkness, become a friend of God, a child of God, living in the marvelous light of God's glory. Be filled with overflowing with the Holy Spirit, who brings love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, knowledge, self-control into your life. Isn't that a better way? Isn't that a better way of living? Instead of the hate and the bitterness and the unforgiveness and all the stuff that makes life miserable, be filled with the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Be baptized in water as a sign that you're born again by the Spirit. Surrender your whole life to Jesus in worship. Serve and honor him as the first priority in your life. So in summary, as I finish, Jesus is coming soon. Judgment Day, that's not him coming in the door. Judgment Day is approaching. Are you ready? Will you be watchful? Will you be faithful? Will you be loyal? Will you get right with God right now? Let's stand, shall we? And let's pray. As we just stand, I just encourage you right where you are, just to do business with God. Just say to God, I want to be ready. I want to be watchful. I want to have oil in my lamp. I want to be keeping burning for Jesus. I want to be faithful. I want to be ready to serve. And if you're not yet born again, if you haven't yet known what it is for your sins to be forgiven, then just call out to Jesus. Just ask him in the quietness of your heart. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be open to you. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for any who are knocking right now, that, Lord, you would come into their lives. And, Lord, you would begin that work of transformation. Lord, for those of us, Lord, who've got our priorities wrong, Lord, those of us who are focused on our careers and our education and our possessions and our homes, our phones and our devices. Lord, help us to put those things aside. They're not necessarily wrong and evil in themselves. But Lord, may our first priority be to be ready for you. Ready and prepared to serve you, Lord. Lord, would you move amongst us by your Spirit? Lord, would you stir us up? Lord, I thank you for your word, your command to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that all these things will be added to you. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, where we are prepared to seek you first, Lord, where we seek your righteousness, Lord, where we seek to be right with God, Lord, that you promise that, Lord, we can trust you, that you will provide all that's necessary for each of our lives. Help us reprioritize our lives in the light of eternity, in the light of our own death, in the light of Jesus' return, that we may truly be the people of God, children of God, Lord, who can even look forward to your return. For to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Look forward to glory, to be with you, Lord. Lord, move in power by your Spirit, Lord, I pray. Move in power by your Spirit.